de nada. Los dejo en buenas manos.
Gracias. Ok. ¿Estamos vivos?
Sí, sí, sí.
Agüita, okay.
Gracias, hermano.
Ok. ¿Cuál es aquí habla en español? ¿Cuál es aquí habla en inglés? ¿Y cuál es aquí habla en Spanglish? Levanten, ok. Vamos a hablar Spanglish hoy día, ok. Así que, por favor, open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll look at one verse here. And with your second hand, grab Matthew chapter 10. First Corinthians chapter 15. Matthew chapter 10. And with your third hand, grab Acts chapter 13. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to look at a verse here in verse number 58. And les pregunté si cuáles hablan en inglés y cuáles hablan en español y cuáles hablan en Spanglish, porque ayer fuimos a Busch Gardens con mi papá y mi mamá y fuimos a Busch Gardens y la querida hermana Rosa estaba ahí tomando el retrato. Ay, qué nice, ay, qué nice, ay, qué nice. Spanglish, amén. Así que, all right, 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Okay, go with me to Matthew chapter number 10, Matthew chapter number 10, and look at verse number 14. Understand that Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, is ending a chapter that talks about the hope of the resurrection. And he gives encouragement in light of where we are going to end up in glory, in light of the fact that someday you are going to be perfectly conformed to the image of Jesus Christ if you're saved. He ends that chapter about hope with the fact that you should be unmovable and steadfast. Look at Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 14. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. You need to understand something. If you're saved this morning, not everybody is going to accept your message. Look at Acts chapter 13 and look at verse number 50. Acts chapter 13 and verse number 50. The Bible says, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. Did they quit? Did they stop preaching? Did they throw away their Bibles? Did they go back to the old religion? Nope. You know what they did? Look at verse 51. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. Thank you for the chance to be here and be amongst friends and family in Christ. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless this message. I pray it would be a blessing to all that are here. Lord, I pray if there's a Christian that needs to be encouraged and stirred up to continue on for Jesus Christ, that Christian would find that today. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. Lord, we ask all of it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to point something out to you this morning, or I guess this afternoon. I didn't realize what time it was. And by the way, your pastor said I need to finish here by about 1 o'clock. That's mountain time. So we're going to finish around 3 o'clock. Is that okay to everybody? I want you to notice here in Acts chapter 13, there's some things that need to be pointed out. And I guess let me do this. Let me back up. Let me get everybody a little bit relaxed this morning, all right? We're going to do this, all right? Ready? Is it good to be saved? It's good to be saved, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. It's good to be in church, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Good to be Puerto Rican, amen?
Amen.
Well, I got a few, right? Amen. All right. I want you to understand here in Acts chapter 13 that this is the first missionary trip that the Apostle Paul takes with Barnabas. Everything is new. This is the first time that the church of Antioch has laid their hands on somebody and has ordained them and has sent them out. And by the way, I'm going to apologize up front. I cannot stand still. I'm one of those preachers that has to move around all the time. So I hope that help you guys are okay with that. But understand, this is the first missionary trip that Paul takes, and this is an exciting time for the church. The church has laid their hands on Paul and Barnabas, and if you're a student of the Word of God, you'll find out that it was the local church that sent out Paul and Barnabas. But later on, when God gives commentary on what just happened when he laid their hands on them, the Bible says the Holy Ghost was the one that sent them out. So what that shows you is that the church and the Holy Spirit should be working together to accomplish God's work in this world. And Paul and Barnabas are sent out on this first missionary trip. And what you would maybe would think is that the Bible's going to tell us that everything goes perfectly according to plan. And everybody that they talk to gets saved. And everybody is excited that they're going out. That's not how it goes. And let me tell you this. Salvation in Jesus Christ is easy. Amen. He did all the work for you. But the Christian life and living out what the Bible says to do is not always easy. There is a difference between being saved and being a disciple of Jesus Christ. You have to first be saved before you can be a disciple, but let me explain this morning. You might be saved and not be living a disciple's life. My prayer is that this morning the two would meet and that you wouldn't just be saved and on your way to heaven, but rather you would be saved and following in Jesus Christ's footsteps. I explain it to my church this way. If my dad, Happy Mayor, before.
That's right.
Okay. El galán, el guapo. Okay, if I walked up to my dad and I slapped him in the face, I'm not going to do it. But if I did, and I spit in his face, and I said, I never want to talk to you again, and I walk away, I have a question for you. Am I still his son? But I can tell you this, we are not going to be on good speaking terms if that happens. As a matter of fact, he might decide to cut me off from some of the inheritance, if you will. And my sister is laughing right now, going, "Yeah, cut him off." But that's it. Thank you so much. But here's the thing. Here's the point. I can never quit being his son. Once you're adopted into God's family, you're saved forever. Thank God for that. That's a blessing. However, there are blessings and there are experiences that you are going to miss out on if you don't learn to be steadfast and unmovable in Christ. There are way too many Christians today that are soft. You know what I'm talking about? One day they believe the Bible is the Word of God. The next day they go, well, Dr. So-and-so said this. One day they believe that the Bible is right when it comes to the definition of marriage. But in the workplace, they are like, well, maybe not. One day they believe and they confess that Jesus Christ really rose from the dead. And then, you know, with family, there's discussions about, well, maybe it didn't happen quite like that. Listen, Christian, be firm. Stand on the Word of God. Don't be moved just because the world moves. You know, there used to be a novella, As the World Turns. Anybody remember that? The world is always going to turn. But God and the Bible stay fixed. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. I'm glad that God doesn't wake up one day and say, you know what? I think I want to change what my Bible says. And all those people I promised eternal life, I'm sort of tired of that. I'm going to let them go to hell. I'm thankful he does not do that. Now, in light of God's character and the fact that God never changes, I'm encouraging you Christians this morning to learn to be steadfast and unmovable. And when the world doesn't receive your message, instead of changing it, and instead of running away, learn to take those shoes off and dust them off and keep on going for Jesus Christ. I want you to notice here in Acts chapter 13, we're not going to read all the verses, but if you were to look at verses 1 through verse 4, there's some very interesting things here. Look what it says in verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Do you know why I know that Paul and Barnabas could not have been Baptists? Because they fasted. Amen. We Baptists like to eat. Amen. Notice here in verse 2, it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So in verse 3, who do we learn sends away Paul and Barnabas? The church. It's the church. But I want you to look at verse number 4. And notice it says, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. That's what I was referring to earlier. And I want you to see that again, this is a very exciting time for the church. It's a very exciting time for Paul and Barnabas. But I want to caution you in something. And what I want to warn you about is that we live in a society that is always looking for the new thing and for what's exciting. And you know, today it's Snapchat. You know, in a couple years they're going to laugh about Snapchat. And no one's going to be using it. And then it's going to be this thing. And it's going to be that thing. And it always changes. And if you're not careful, you will be the kind of Christian that is excited just because something is new. You need to be just as excited 10 years after you are saved than just the day you were saved. If anything, you should be more excited because you've learned more about the goodness of God. I want you to see that Paul and Barnabas were excited about this, but when they get to where the Lord has sent them, I want you to notice that not everybody was excited about it. Let me say this, number one, being sent by God does not exempt you from opposition. Being sent by God does not exempt you from opposition. If you are saved this morning, raise your hand. You know that you are bound for heaven. You know that God is your Father. You know that heaven is your home. You're saved. Amen. Do you understand that Pastor Salmeron and Pastor Alian, we're not the only ones that have a ministry today. The Bible says if you're saved, you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And everywhere you go, you are sent from God. You are being sent by God into the workplace. You are being sent by God into your schools, young people. You're being sent by God to your family. Regardless of where you find yourself, God is sending you to minister to those that need to know the saving power of Jesus Christ. But you need to understand that just because God is behind you, it does not mean that you're going to live without problems. Notice something here.
In Acts 13 and verse number 6. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Man, what a blessing! Hallelujah! Praise God! Somebody wants to hear the word of God. Have you ever woken up in the morning as a Christian and prayed and said, God, just give me one open door to give somebody the gospel of Jesus Christ today? You ever done that? And isn't it amazing when someone wants to hear what you have to say? And what a blessing. Sergius Paulus wants to hear the word of God. But look at verse number 8. The first word in verse number 8, you know what it is? But. Everything's going great. They're sent out by the church. The Holy Ghost has filled them. They're going to do the work of God. Sergius Paulus wants to hear the Bible preached. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. It wasn't all fun. There were going to be challenges. There are people in our society that purposefully are going to do everything they can to make sure that you are ineffective with getting the gospel to the lost. Elymas the sorcerer was one of those people. And the Bible says everything's going great, but the church sent them out, but the Holy Ghost was behind them, but Sergius Paulus wants to hear the word of God preached, but. And let me say this, you are going to experience that in your life. And you have a choice this morning. You need to make up your mind today that when that happens to you, you don't just say, well, I'm done. That you don't just say, it's too hard. I believe we have convinced ourselves that nobody wants to hear the truth anymore. But that's not true. There are people that desire truth. There are people that want to know God. And it's our job to give them the truth. But there's going to be opposition along the way. And you have to decide right now that you're not going to be the Christian that just says, it's too hard. I can't do it.
I want you to consider what Paul says in Romans 1:13. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto. In other words, he was not allowed to come to the Roman people that he wanted to minister to. Things got in the way. Christian, there are people that God wants you to reach, and there are going to be things and other people that get in the way. And rather than you just saying, it's too hard, I can't do it, if this is how it's going to be, then I quit. You need to decide this morning that you are going to learn to press on for Jesus Christ. That you are going to be steadfast and unmovable, regardless of the opposition that comes your way.
My family obviously is from Puerto Rico, and baseball is the big sport. But I can't really watch baseball. I'm sorry. Let me tell you why. 1-2 pitch. Okay. And he throws the ball, and the guy catches it, and then for the next 5 minutes, instead of doing this signal, that signal, and it puts me to sleep watching the game. I'm sorry. But I'll tell you this. When it comes to football, I do like watching football. And I think it would be weird if a quarterback threw the ball, somebody caught the ball, and because there are two defenders there, he just looks at the defenders, throws down the ball, and walks away. You would never score a goal. And in the Christian life, it's the same way. When God puts something in your hand to take to somebody, you don't drop the ball just because there is opposition standing in your way of the goal. I want you to notice that Paul deals directly with Elymas, a sorcerer. And the Bible says, look if you would, at verse number 9, Acts 13, verse 9, then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil. Let me just, time out. How many times have you heard somebody say, because the preacher preaches the truth, he's not nice? Let me point out to you, it was Jesus Christ, our Savior, that looked at religious people and said, ye are of your father, the devil. Now, if I got up in church, at my church, and I knew that somebody was lost, and I just walked up to them and I said, ye are of your father, the devil, they probably wouldn't come back to church. But let me tell you something. Jesus Christ did that. And let me point out, secondly, that Paul, the apostle, looked at a person that was opposing the word of God, and he called him what he was. He goes on to say, thou enemy of all righteousness. I think there are certain parts of the Bible that even as Christians we don't like. Because they're hard. Because they make us draw a line in the sand, whether it's with family or with friends or with coworkers. It makes us draw a line in the sand to say, I'm going to stand with God, and whatever side you take is up to you. And Paul did that day. He said, thou enemy of all righteousness,
wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And in verse 11, the man turns blind.
The man that was withstanding the word of God, opposing the word of God.
And as a result of Paul
not just saying, it's too hard, I'm going to leave. As a result of Paul looking at that man in the face and saying, I'm going to preach the truth no matter what you say, no matter what you do.
Sergius Paulus comes to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. Look at verse 12, if you would. Then the deputy, that's Sergius Paulus, that's the man that wanted the truth, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. You know, we went to Walt Disney World the other day.
Let me ask everybody a question. Who here has been to Disney? Okay, all right. Well, we went there the other day,
and it amazes me at how big that place is. How much money they charge for everything. They make a lot of money. One of the most wealthy corporations in the world started with a man who was fired from a newspaper because he was not creative enough and he lacked imagination. That's what they said about Walt Disney. That is fascinating to me. Look at what that man built because he did not quit. Christians, we are called to bring others into the kingdom of God. And we have to learn to have the same vision that a man does about a silly little mouse in a cartoon. That man was so focused on bringing his dream to life, Walt Disney, that he built an empire. What if we got that focus on winning people to Jesus Christ? What if we said, no matter what the opposition, no matter what they say about our preaching the gospel, no matter what they do to try to stop us, we are going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, regardless of the opposition. Look, if you would, at verse 13 in this same chapter. You might say, amen, Pastor Adrian. I want to be that kind of Christian. That's good. But secondly, let me say, continuing on does not ensure that others won't quit. Continuing on does not ensure that other Christians won't quit. Look at verse 13, if you would. And you'll notice at the end of the verse that John, also known as John Mark, departs from them and returns to Jerusalem. There's a saying that we have, and the saying is this: you and God make a majority. You and God make a majority. And just because other Christians quit doing the right thing, and just because other Christians compromise, and just because other Christians allow the world to dictate to them what is right and what is wrong, and just because other Christians go back into the world, doesn't mean that you should. And you're going to find out that if you make it past the opposition of some of the lost people, there's still going to be some Christians that quit. There's still going to be some Christians that discourage you. And if you're not careful, you will look at them and you will take your eyes off of Jesus Christ and you'll focus more on other Christians. And because you're focusing on them and you see that they quit and you see that they go back to the world, you're going to be tempted to do the same thing.
Listen, just because you continue on doesn't mean others around you are not going to quit. It is going to happen.
The pastor talked about that in Sunday school this morning. But remember, you and God make a majority. I want you to consider how God dealt with Abraham.
When did God talk to Abraham? He talked to Abraham when Abraham was alone. He called Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt when Moses was alone. He talked to Jacob when Jacob was alone. The angel of the Lord wrestled with Jacob. You say, where was Jacob? He was all by himself. What I'm getting at is this. If you want to be used of God as a Christian today, there are going to be times where you stand by yourself, just you and God.
But I'll tell you this. Someday when you stand by yourself, just you and God, at the judgment seat of Christ, you are going to be glad that you did. You are going to be glad that you didn't just quit because other Christians quit. Look, if you would, at Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew 7. And I'm taking some liberty with the doctrinal application of this verse, and I want to apply it practically to your life. Matthew 7, and look if you would at verse number 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it.
If you look across the world, 7 billion souls, approximately, on planet Earth right now. You see on these walls, there are missionaries. Missionaries to the islands, North America, Europe, South America, Asia, Africa. You say, why? Because few there be that find it. And it's our job to go to those people all over the world, but starting right here, to go and find those that will trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Those that will turn from their own righteousness and accept the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. But let's go a step further. From those that get saved, there are even less Christians and less people that will dedicate their lives for Jesus Christ. You say, why? Few there be that find it. And what I'm getting at is, it's like a funnel. Okay, here's all of humanity. And those that will trust Christ narrows it down. And then those that will live for Jesus Christ on a daily basis narrows it down even more. And what I'm getting at is this. If you dedicate your life to Jesus Christ, there are going to be some friendships, there are going to be some relationships that you simply cannot keep. You cannot hold God's hand and a carnal Christian's hand at the same time. You cannot be in fellowship. It does not work. Let me for a moment take a time out. I like sports, so I use timeouts at church. Amen. Let me talk to you young people. Don't doze off on me right now. You young people are going out into a world that's telling you that bi and trans and homo and this and that is all okay. It's wrong. It's wrong. And let me tell you something else. You've got the truth, Christian. Young people, you've got the truth. 20, 30, 40 years from now, do you really think your friends from high school are going to be there to help you out? Do you really think that your friends are going to really influence your life all that much? Let's talk to the older folks in here today. You know what they'll tell you? Maybe they know one of their friends from high school anymore. You know who has influenced their life and your life more than anybody else? Jesus Christ. You owe Him your allegiance. Not what some kid thinks at high school. And by the way, the stuff I thought in high school, I'm just going to be honest with you. Outside of liking that girl right there, who I married, outside of that, I was wrong about almost everything else. You learn that as you grow up. What I'm getting at is this. Don't be so concerned with what everybody else is doing and what everybody else says and what everybody else thinks. Be concerned with having fellowship with Jesus Christ. Paul understood that John Mark was just a young Christian. And he let him go. He had to let him go. You say, why? Because John Mark was going in one direction, and the ministry that God had called Paul to was going in a different one. I want to ask you Christians this morning, how many friends, family members, co-workers have you sometimes put ahead of Jesus Christ? Is it possible that there are relationships in your life that mean more to you than getting the gospel of Jesus Christ to as many people as possible? I believe in family. I am thankful for family. This man right here is one of my heroes. He's a veteran of the United States Army. Vietnam, Gulf War, Panama jungle training. I love that man. And I believe he loves me too. But if I threw my Bible away tomorrow and I said, all that stuff is a lie. I know my dad, with his broken heart, would not quit coming to this church. And he would not let go of his Bible. You say, why? Because Jesus Christ means more to him than just his son. I want to challenge you this morning to put Jesus Christ above everybody else in your life. Thirdly, let me say this. Preaching the truth does not mean everybody is going to like you. As a matter of fact, I don't think you're a good Christian if you don't have a few enemies because you're preaching the truth. Amen?
Amen.
You know, the old preachers, you know what they would do? They would say, if you don't amen me, I'm going to amen myself. Amen, amen, amen.
I want you to see something in verse number 42 of Acts 13. Acts 13, look at verse number 42. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Listen,
Paul preached in the synagogue from verses 16 all the way to verse 41, you talk about a great message. Great message. And do you know what athletes do? Athletes dream about the Super Bowl or the FIFA World Cup or the World Series. They dream about moments like that where they win the championship and they're going to give their big speech. I have a confession for you this morning. Preachers dream of those moments too. We dream of the moments where we have an open door to preach. And I want to tell you, you might get out of church one day and find that your pastor preached a long message. But I guarantee you, it is nothing like the messages of Paul. One time he preached past midnight, and a young man fell out of a window. All right? In this passage, he preaches from verses 16 to verse 41. He preaches about the beginning of the nation of Israel, the law being given by Moses, the children of Israel worshiping false gods, the nation of Israel being scattered. He preaches about the Messiah, Jesus Christ, that finally shows up. And then he preaches to them and says, you guys crucified your Messiah. You talk about a big message. And guess what? You might think after that message, nobody wanted to receive it. But that wasn't true. People wanted to hear it. And some people said, hey, if we come back next week, can you tell us more? What a blessing.
What a blessing. And so Paul comes back. Look, if you would, at verse 44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God.
Can you imagine if almost every Spanish-speaking person in Ocala came to church this morning? We would have a hard time fitting them all here. Amen? But wouldn't that be exciting if they all came? Or almost all of them came? The Bible says almost the whole city was there. But I want you to notice verse 45.
What's the first word in verse 45? But. But. When the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming.
Paul was sent out by the church, but Elymas the sorcerer withstood him. Paul continues on, but John Mark quit. Paul continues on and preaches the gospel for 25 verses. Everybody's excited. And they said, come back next week. And he's preaching the next week.
But. What am I saying? Just because you're preaching the truth doesn't mean everybody is going to like it. You know what the Bible says in Proverbs 28 and verse 1? The wicked flee when no man pursueth. But the righteous are bold as a lion. Preach on. Look, if you would, at verse number 52. After all the opposition, after all the trouble, I want you to notice something. It says here in verse 52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. You say, what preceded that? Look at verse 51. Here's another one of those but verses. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium.
Let me say this lastly about shaking the dust off of your feet and continuing on. Their faithfulness was marked with blessings. The disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Let me get you to think about one last thing this afternoon. Do you know why you're here this morning if you're saved? You are here because somebody told you the truth, amen? And you know what? Somebody told them. And somebody told that person. And somebody told the person before them. And on it goes all the way back to a man named Paul the Apostle.
Aren't you glad that Paul the Apostle did not quit? We are here because of him. You can have joy and you can be filled with the Holy Ghost as a child of God because of the truth that you have, that you can find from Romans into 1st and 2nd Corinthians, into Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and so on and so forth. All those letters are there. All those epistles are there.
Because that man learned to shake the dust off of his feet and continue on for Jesus Christ. How many lives could we touch if we learned to do the same thing? If you're here today
and you're tempted to quit as a Christian, can I encourage you to go on? If you're here and maybe you're a good person, maybe you're religious, maybe you go to church, but you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior,
can I encourage you today to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? I don't know who is who here. I don't know if you're saved. I don't know if you're a believer. But I tell you what, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to be a lot like Pontius Pilate. He tried to wash his hands from the blood of Jesus Christ. But for eternity, I believe that man is in hell. And he's trying to wash his hands and he can't do it because he keeps looking down and he realizes that he rejected the Son of God. And he rejected the only payment for his sins, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. If you're here and you've never been saved, you can try to shake off the old habits and you can try to shake off the sins and go to church and be a good person, but that won't save you. The only thing that will save you is trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you're saved this morning, the only thing worth living for is Jesus Christ.
And taking his word and his gospel into a world that desperately needs the message of salvation. I would ask that we take a moment to pray. And I don't know how you handle your invitations here, Pastor, but however that works, I'll go ahead and turn the service back over to you, Pastor Samirong. This morning, I invite you to talk with the Lord.
Si usted es cristiano, a lo mejor usted necesita pensar en ese compromiso a Jesucristo. De no renunciar, de no detenerse por la oposición en el mundo de Cristo. Y to reflect on the fact of quitting, not continuing the work you're supposed to, just because you have opposition. Because you have people who make mockery of you. Habrá gente que nos hace burla, por eso a veces queremos dejar nuestra fe. Pero Dios es digno y poderoso, que murió con nosotros en la cruz, nos llama que sigamos con su altar. Use mercy for our part. Causes, encourages to continue the Christian work. Mientras orando, yo quiero que usted piense un momento, si usted quiere hoy, a donde hay un diferente futuro. Y will die today, what will you do? Si usted dice, pastor, la verdad es que yo no sé a dónde iría. No estoy seguro de mi salvación. You may be not sure this morning, where will you go in your life? Ahí eso sigue a ligar esta oración, dígale Señor Jesús, yo te recibo como mi único salvador personal, yo acepto que soy pecador, gracias Jesús por salvarme. Let me to make this prayer this morning and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, I surrender my life to you because I'm a sinner, and only you can wash my sins. I surrender my life to you, for you to be my Savior. Que quizás ahora conviene, Señor, a Cristo Jesús. Cristo, ven a mi corazón. Yo quiero que tú vivas en mi corazón. Ahí en silencio, en su silla, quiero levantar su mano para llorar, porque a pasar lloré con usted, viendo a Cristo que tiene mi corazón. Pero levanta su mano. Dios te bendiga, Dios te bendiga. Dios te bendiga, hermano. Dios te bendiga. Si yo quiero que Cristo esté en mi corazón. Maybe you this morning make this prayer with me, a young person, saying yes. I do want Christ to my heart. I do want to be saved this morning. Can you raise your hand so I can pray for you? You make this prayer with me this morning. This is coming into your heart. Can you pray for us? God bless you. Anybody else would like to say this is coming. We thank you, Father, for this marvelous time because we're here because of you. Porque tú por las otras cosas. Estamos aquí, Señor, por ti. Porque tú moriste en la cruz por nosotros. Porque tú rescataste por tu respuesta. Estás maldito, por eso estamos aquí. Estamos así orando, pensando, si usted hizo una oración conmigo y quiere venir al frente un momento para que vea con usted o una petición que usted tenga. Venga al frente en este momento para que podamos orar con usted en la gloria de Jesucristo. En un momento para que nos hablamos en el altar con Dios, para que Dios nos ayude en este momento de Dios. We need to come forward to the altar so we can pray together, and you can ask God to help you in the Christian walk, give you the strength, the wisdom.